I toyed with the idea of writing a book a number of years ago and started jotting down things I could include. I just went back to look at my notes and saw that the very first thing I wrote down was Mrs. Morgan's lawn. I've never known a Mrs. Morgan, nor do I have any memories of her lawn. Our lawn, yes. I remember one day when I was a kid, our neighbor Mrs. Perkins called my mother to tell her there was something seriously wrong with me. My dad had set me up in the side yard with the power mower, and I was pretending the blades of grass were enemy soldiers that I was mowing down in a ferocious battle. Naturally, I had to speak up above the roar of the motor as I gave orders to my troops. But to Mrs. Perkins, at least, it looked very odd to see a young girl shoving a big lawnmower around while angrily bellowing at the grass. Actually, there were a lot of calls to my mother to say that something must have been wrong with me. I kicked ass on screen way before I did so in real life. The roles I've played have taken me down paths I never could have imagined when I dreamed of becoming an actor. They've helped transform me, slowly, in fits and starts, into someone of power. As my career progressed, I went all the way from playing a soap star in her underwear in Tootsie, to a housewife turned road warrior in Thelma and Louise, to a baseball phenomenon in A League of Their Own, to the first female president of the United States and commander-in-chief, and more. For everything I've put into those roles, I've taken away far more. Acting has changed me every single time I've had the great good fortune to do it. Some movies I've been in have even inspired the people watching them to feel more empowered. Like, you know, Earth Girls Are Easy. I've been blessed to practice living a different life on screen, a bolder, freer, and more authentic one than my own. And though my characters were bold before I was, that boldness rubbed off on me and transformed me into a fledgling, then fully fledged, badass. I figure I'm permitted to call myself that because the magazine The Mary Sue ran an article in 2013 with the headline, "Gina Davis is the most badass badass to ever badass." For people observing my life from afar, I imagine they picture my journey to badassery climbing upward in a nice even line. However, the actual graph of my journey jogs wildly up and down and has a few loop-de-loops in it as well. Setbacks are part of the process on any journey, of course, but the reason my road toward claiming my power is so meandering may, in part, be a result of growing up a cripplingly polite New Englander who was much too tall to hide. I may be one of the few people who can honestly say they very nearly died of politeness. Two others are my parents, as you'll see. This dangerous politeness was bequeathed to me early on. I was conditioned to think that I mustn't ask for things, must never put anyone out. So trained to be insanely polite that I learned to have no needs at all. Even if someone was handing me an already poured glass of ice water, I was to say, "No, thank you, I'm not thirsty." Because otherwise, well, imagine what might happen. I could conceivably become the person who, every time she showed up, needed a freshly poured glass of fucking ice water, and who would want to be such a person? My polite near death came when I was about 8 years old. My 99-year-old great-uncle Jack was driving his wife, great-aunt Marion, my parents, and me back to their house after dinner out. The lovely old fellow was occasionally veering in and out of the oncoming, if blessedly empty, traffic lane. Rather than saying anything out loud like, I don't know, "For God's sake, pull over, Jack, we're all gonna die," my parents simply moved me to the spot between them on the back seat, thinking, I presume, that when the inevitable head-on collision occurred, I'd be killed a little less in the middle. Never mind the fact that I was now perfectly poised for a straight shot through the windshield. Finally, Great Uncle Jack full-on wobbled into the other lane and stayed there, straddling the yellow line. But this time, a car was approaching. Still, not a peep from my parents. At the very last instant, with mere seconds before impact, Marion gently said, "A little to the right, Jack." I still remember the distorted faces of the occupants of the other car streaking past us, inches away, as he swerved just in time. The lesson being, even if there's death in the offing, or of the offspring, don't say something that could possibly be perceived as impolite.